All right, well, it gives me great pleasure to introduce George L. from Bakersfield.
Good evening, my name is George. I'm an alcoholic. I just live in Bakersfield. I'm not from Bakersfield. I want to welcome all the newcomers. There's about 8 of you, I think, somewhere around there. And hopefully I'm going to share a message of hope. And if what I say this evening helps just one of you, it's worth my time. I do things like this because my life depends on it. I also do this kind of thing because I have a life. And I got that life through rooms like this. Rooms like this is one of the few places that I know of where the impossible is possible. Because where I come from, gangs, violence, just destruction, hurting loved ones. To compare what I, the kind of life I live today, it had to come from a change. It had to be changed, and that had to have come from power greater than myself, who I call God. I talk about the word God a lot in these rooms. You don't like the word God? Tough shit. Because that's what one guy at night with 19 years of sobriety said in one of the first meetings I went to, man. He said, nobody's going to tell you, you got to believe in your God, your God, your God. Whatever your God, hey, who should say that's not God? But then he also told me, if anybody tells you to believe in his God, he said, give him the finger and talk, fuck you. And that's exactly what he said. You know, I got 4 other brothers and 2 sisters. And, one of my dad was an alcoholic. He died from alcohol and drugs. Drugs is part of my story. I may mention drugs. Don't get offended if you have it. Okay? People try to kick me out of these rooms because I used to mention the word drugs. From the 5C's era, I came anyway. I learned some of the traditions and I threw that third tradition at them. Hey, when you wrote that third tradition, the only requirement for AA membership was desire to stop drinking. Did you mean it or didn't you? They don't bother me anymore. In fact, some of those guys who try to keep me out of these rooms aren't here anymore. I'm here today, and I come to these rooms because I'm not all there. And if you be in here, neither are you. Because if you think you're all there, what the fuck are you doing here? See, lowlifes come here. Fuck-ups come here. Scum of the earth come here. I can say that because I was once one of those people. Mm-hmm. But this one guy who wound up being my sponsor, he told me, hey, he said, you're a good person, George. You just don't know it yet. I didn't know what he was talking about then. I do know what he's talking about 23 years later. My sobriety date is March 29th, 1992. I don't say that to impress you. But that impresses the shit out of myself. I've been sober just as long as I've been out there, because I did alcohol and drugs for 23 years, and I've got 23 years plus of sobriety. You know, I've committed lots of crimes. I just didn't get caught. I used to break into bars, roll kegs down the alleys in Oceano. And just never got caught. But what got me to these rooms was doing things my way all my life, you know. I didn't know it when I got here, but alcohol and drugs must have kicked my ass good and hard when I got here. Because I've been here since day one. I don't know what it feels like to go back out there and get local again. Nor do I care to. Why don't I care to? Because you people have relapsed and relapsed back and forth. You sure don't come here with a successful story. You come here with a new, some more arrows in your ass, what you do. But you new people, I hope the drugs or alcohol has kicked your ass good and hard, because if it hasn't, you're probably not going to stay. It's been my experience. I mean, I sponsored over 180 guys since I've been sober, and out of those 180 guys, I think 15 or 20. I don't take credit for the ones who stayed, nor do I take credit for the ones who didn't. The ones who stayed were ready. The ones who didn't weren't ready. And like my sponsor told me, hey, my sponsor, he had to kill somebody under the influence in order for that to be his wake-up call. And he told me, that may be what it takes for you, George, I don't know. He goes, well, it might take for you to spend the rest of your life in prison. If you spend the rest of your life in prison, he told me, fuck it, better you than me. And he goes, and if you die because of alcohol, better you to die than me, he told me. This is a selfish program, people, for you new people. I'm the most important person in this room. You new people come after me. Some of the room say, the newcomer is. Fuck that. I was taught by the best. If you don't like what I say in here, that's okay. You'll get over it. Or you're going to get drunk. That's what they used to tell me. There's one guy with 40 plus years of sobriety. He says, I don't get resentments. I give them. People talk about them all the time. People talk about me all the time. That, to me, today, I don't care. I'm not going to go up you and fuck you up today. Because I've learned a new way of fighting without fighting. I don't fight with my hands no more. I haven't done it in probably about 15 years. I did do it in sobriety, though. And then I had to go apologize to the guy. When I apologized to the guy I got in a fight with, he turned around and said, fuck you again. You mean? And this time I just turned around and walked away. Because I have to think my actions through today. Because had I done what my first thought was when he said that, where would that end up my kids? Without a father, my mother, without a son, my brothers, without a brother. So I had to learn how to live. And I'm still learning how to do life for life, one day at a time. There are things that you people have done or experienced, and I haven't done them yet. But you know, prior to getting the Alcoholics Anonymous, I was married, and I used to sell prostitutes even being married. I'm not proud of the shit that I've done. I just slapped my wife around a lot. I'm not proud of that, but that's where I come from. That's what I did because of alcohol and drugs. I haven't touched my wife not one time since I've been in these rooms. I haven't been to jail either since I've come to these rooms. I've had to call cops on people. That where I come from, you don't call the cops. And after, because these twin guys, my kids were going to school one time and they came back crying. They said, Dad, somebody just pointed a gun at us. And where I come from, you go get a gun, fight a gun with a gun. And I called my sponsor, told him what I had planned on doing. He goes, that would be real selfish of you. He goes, the proper thing to do is call the cops. Because he also told me before that, he goes, staying sober and doing things sober is going to be one of the hardest things you ever did in your fucking life. Because you've never done that before. So I did. I called the cops and on that guy. And the cops, I saw the cops weren't at his house. He only lived about 3 blocks from me. And then I saw that guy who pointed the gun walk right across my street. He walked right across in front of my house. I go, that son of a bitch, he's got a lot of nerve. So he walked about half a block, and I started walking behind him. I go, I'm going to beat his ass because the cops didn't come. So he got to his front yard, and I was just ready to say something or do something. And then the cops hauled ass and kept right in front of me and that guy. And they told me, George, go home. We'll take care of it. And then as a result of being in Alcoholics Anonymous and Narcotics Anonymous, I've gone into the prison systems. I've done it for over, the H&I worked for over 10 years. And inside there, while I was in there, I'm around 100 convicts, and there's only three of us on the panel. And then a little voice said, share that story where you call the cops in front of these 100 convicts. And I said to myself, I'd never do that. One of them might just fuck me up. But hey, God put that little intuitive thought in my head, so I went and shared that story in front of those guys. And about six of those guys, after the meeting was over, said, you know what? That's the kind of life we should have lived. Mm-hmm. And we probably wouldn't be here. So that pride and ego, you got to smash that pride and ego. If not, you new people, you're not going to stay, man. I'm going to be here long term, one day at a time. And that's the way I do this deal, one day at a time. For you new people, if you be in here, you don't have a sponsor right now, me, I'm going to share with this one guy with 36 years at a convention center. He goes, right now you've got a fucking idiot for a sponsor if you don't have one. You're sponsoring yourself, basically. That makes a lot of sense to me today. We can do this thing. But my sponsor told me, he goes, by yourself, you're fucked, George. And by myself, I am, he told me. And I know that to be true for me today. I still have to say, I don't know. Will you help me? I have to say, I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? Where I come from, I didn't apologize to people. I got an apology from you, or fuck you with my attitude. But my attitude had to change, and it has. You know, what got me to these rooms was March 28, 1992. I was in a Motel 6 with three prostitutes and two cases of Budweiser, a fifth of tequila, and two 8-balls. If you don't know what an 8-ball is, don't even trip. But that day that I used to slam cocaine in my veins, and that it's the first time ever my legs were buckling, going down the floor. I told one of those prostitutes, fill up the rig again, I'm going to do one more issue. And then a little voice in my head said, you know, you did that one last issue, you're out, you're gone. So I didn't do it. Today I know it to be that voice of this loving God and my understanding that I don't understand that I found in these rooms. I don't know who God is. I don't know where he is. I could give a shit. All I know is that I prayed for the obsession for my alcoholism and drug addiction to go away for 7 days, because that's what was told me by my sponsor. Before I could ask him why, he told me, don't even ask me why. Just fucking do it, he said. I did it. And here I stand over 23 years later. So if you've been here and you don't think there's any hope for you, I'm here to tell you there is, man. There is. But one's got to be ready. You've got to be willing to go to any lengths, in my experience. You know, I went to any lengths to get sober. I remember being about 3 months sober, and I had a vehicle, and it was raining. I didn't know how I was going to go to a meeting. But then a little voice in my head says, you know what? One of your daughters has a girl bike. Your other daughter has an umbrella. And I had a black trench coat. I said, fuck it. I'll get on the girl's bike. And then I go down Grand Avenue in Grover Beach, where I used to live. Going down in the rain, going to a meeting on a girl's bike. And when I got to the meeting, I shared how I felt like a Mexican Mary Poppins, I told him. And then another guy shared that to me. He goes, now that's going to any lengths to stay sober. Because I went to any lengths to fucking get that beer or get that drug. So I remember going to parties, after parties, people would leave what we call penny beers back then. I'd fill up all kinds of cans and make a full beer. And I remember taking a drink one time, almost swallowing a fucking cigarette butt. But those are the lengths I went to get sober. I don't know where you people come from. That's where I come from. If I come from, they don't call shit poo-poo, you know what I mean? But I remember going 2 o'clock in the morning, my son, 2 years, he was 2 years old. He was in Fort Lauderdale, going down the alleys of Oceano, just to go get some drugs, you know what I mean? So the lengths I went through, those are lengths I still go to stay sober. Just because I've been sober for 23 years doesn't mean key alcohol or the drugs is going to stop. It's still going to be after my ass. In fact, this last month it's come after me twice. Situations, and because, you know, I was getting overwhelmed by these two situations that were happening in my life, and then the little voice says, fuck it, drink. But then I stopped the drink too, and then I said, fuck that, it's not worth it. Or else I say the serenity prayer, which is helping also. When I got here new, I still utilized that powerful tool. How that worked, just by saying it 15, 20 times in my mind, I don't know and I don't care. But when I did say it the 15th or 20th time, it had lessened to a level where I could deal with it, and then I have to react on it. Right? So I don't understand people who come here and say, I've never thought about drinking. I don't believe them. You'd be an alcoholic like me, you're a good liar. And you can lie with a straight face. And you don't have to think about it, it just comes like that. Because I remember when I was going to Rio Grande, being in an intersection, and there was a cop knocking on my window right there by Jack in the Box on Grand Avenue. My car's in the middle of the intersection. He knocks on the window, I roll, and he says, what are you doing here? I look around, I'm right in the middle of the fucking intersection. This is my oldies. And I told him, you know what my answer was? I told him, you know what, my friend's supposed to put me in the driver's seat and he left me. He gave me a sobriety test and I passed it and he told me to go home. Nowadays, they don't tell you that. Just one beer, you're gone. Back then, you could get away with all kinds of stuff. But all the people that I hurt, all the crimes I committed, every family member I hurt, all the fucked up things I did, all of that had to happen exactly the way it happened. Because had one thing been left out, I wouldn't be standing here talking to you. And when I had about, I think, 40-some days of being sober, it just dawned on me I was sober. I go, son of a bitch, I've never been sober 40 days in a long time. I go, something about these rooms is just doing it. So I kept coming. I didn't miss one day, one meeting for my first six years. That's how many meetings I went to. Because these rooms were blowing my mind. They were blowing me away. And then I came to a meeting, and then I saw this guy. We used to belong to a gang. He was in a different gang than I was. We used to shoot at each other. In fact, another guy, we used to shoot at each other. He's in this room also. And for me, the guy that I saw in the meeting, he's got about 3 years more sobriety than I do. Now every time I see that man, I go up to him and give him a hug, and we tell each other we love each other. I can say I love you to that guy. Now if that's not change, then I don't know what the hell is, people. Mm-hmm. It's about change. It's constant. It feels uncomfortable, but change is very necessary for my spiritual growth. For any of you new people, I pray this morning. I can take that to the bank. There's no way that I'll pick up a drink today, a drug, or a cigarette. I get a daily reprieve from all three of those, but it's based on the contingent of my spiritual condition. Because I pray for all three of those things, for the obsessions to go away. I haven't had none of those since day one. So if you new people go back out there and drink, it's because you want to drink more than you want to stay sober. You got some more shit to happen to your ass. And you're better for it to happen to you than to me. When I got here, I got me a sponsor. He told me the war's over, George. He told me King Alcohol and drugs won, and you fucking lost. They don't have any weapons. You have to fight. You have to fight no more. You have to hurt your loved ones no more. You have to hurt yourself anymore. And I also heard in these rooms, this one guy, he said, if anybody treated me the way I treated myself, I'd kill him. That makes a lot of sense to me. No, I got three sponsors. One with 33 years, the other with 31, another one with 40 plus years of sobriety. The one with 40 plus years of sobriety lives in Paso Robles. He sums up how the program works for him with one word, and that's application. See, because we all basically get the same tools. Whether one applies them, that's up to the individual. I don't like feeling like shit. But if you're new and you feel like shit right now, that's a good place to be. That's what you people told me when I got here new. One fact, the guy said, I'm glad you feel like shit. But he also told me, you know what, you're not going to feel like shit the rest of your life. It's going to pass. It's going to pass, but he told me it's going to pass in God's time, not yours. And I know, and that's true for me. When I got here, I was about maybe 90 days when I got me the sponsor. I heard him tell a story. He had been involved in gangs. He was about 20 years older than me. And I went up to him and asked him, hey, we sponsored you. I was listening to you. Your story's almost like mine. He pulled me aside and told me, he goes, why do you want me to sponsor you? I go, because I heard you and I got some similarity. He goes, he told me, you don't know a fucking thing about me. See, when the guy, he was within arm's distance when he said that. If anybody talked to me, if you're within arm's distance, and he talk shit like that to me, I'll hit you in the mouth. But I didn't hit him. And I know why I didn't today. That's because God did for me that day what I couldn't do for myself. Looking back at it. He wound up being my sponsor. He asked me if I was willing to go to any lengths. I just looked at him. I didn't know what he was going to tell me, but I gave him the answer he wanted to hear, which was yes. He told me, you have a big book? I go, no. You got any money? He goes, no. I got a big book somehow. I think whether he gave it to me or not, I don't know. Can't remember. He goes, you know how to read? I go, yeah, I know how to read. He said, read one of those steps for traditions of the lines on the board. So I read one, and he goes, oh, you know how to read pretty good. He goes, I want you to read that book from cover to cover in 30 days. Have it read in 30 days. If you don't have it read in 30 days, look for yourself another sponsor. Don't waste my fucking time, he told me. He told me, go to a meeting every day also, he goes, for 30 days. You miss one day, look for yourself another sponsor. Don't waste my fucking time. He goes, you told me you're willing to go to links. I'm willing to go to links for you. So time will tell. I might not be the sponsor for you, he said, but we'll see. He also told me to give him a call every day for 30 days and not miss one day also. If I miss one day, he told me to look for another sponsor. Because see, there's a wrench for every fucking nut in here. This wrench don't fit every nut. There may be somebody that needs to be talked to in a low-toned voice. I mean, I had to be called and all my bullshit. The guy told me, one of my, being my sponsor, told me the truth in spite of me getting my feelings hurt. That's how much he loved me. Looking back at it, and as a result of the guidance I got from that man. If you be in here and you haven't done the steps, you can't do them by yourself because you don't know a fucking thing about them. But, you know, the steps, don't be afraid of them because in my experience, they're kind, loving, very gentle, and very protective for me and for you. And if you haven't done them, you don't know what the hell I'm talking about, nor will you. There's been a lot of freedom for me, a lot of healing for me. I've made restitution. I've made right for just about every wrong that I've done my whole life. And the fourth step wasn't hard for me. Some people say it's the hard. My sponsor told me, hey, all the shit you did to whoever you did you have any problem doing it? All the crimes you did committed when you did it? I go, no, I have no problem doing it. He goes, good, you should have no problem writing the shit down then. It's that simple. That's how simple he kept it from me. And you know, even some loved ones that died, I never got to apologize to them directly. So I, as many means I've gone to, I heard a guy say how he's made amends to his dad, because he had died. He went to the gravesite and just talked to the gravesite. I did that, and that worked for me also. I got a healing, some kind of feeling I got by doing it. But there I was. I'm willing to go any lengths. I'm willing to do and take suggestions from someone else other than myself today. I sponsored many guys. I've sponsored, God put the fucking worst people in my life. The worst of the worst. I've even sponsored a skinhead. I don't turn nobody down. I don't turn anybody down. That's what God wants me to sponsor. You know, I was very prejudiced for it when I got here. Prejudice, man. My sister, she's a lesbian. I mean, I couldn't stand her friends. They act like guys. They want to act like a guy in front of me. I'll fucking treat them like a guy. But today, as a result of doing the steps, I can let people live and do and live their own life. If they want to be that way, that's on them. Who am I? Right? If God's forgiven me for everything that I've done, who am I not to be able to forgive whoever's done me wrong? And just to live and let live. You know? I've gone up to policemen and apologized to policemen for giving them a hard time when they arrested me. And where I come from, you don't even talk to cops. Because I was at a gym one time and I saw a cop. I used to give him a bad time, I remember. And the little boy said, right now would be a good time to make amends to that cop. So I go walking towards the cop. He turns around and looks at me. And I got about 10 feet from him, and then he didn't let me get any closer. He started walking backwards. So I talked to him from a distance. I told him, you know what? I'm in a 12-step program, and I want to apologize for this incident. I'm not going to go into detail, but I did with him, and I even shook his hand. He shook mine. That's how willing I was to change my evil ways. Used to be a commercial back when I was younger. Lucky strike. I'd rather fight than switch. Today I'd rather switch than fight. That makes a lot of sense to me today. I come from a local ward prior to getting to Alcoholics Anonymous. Some of you people on the local ward right now, he's got a little fancy word for him. You got to call it recovery center. Shelter home, see. I prefer to call it a local word. Sound more macho. You know, when I used the word macho one time, the first and second meet I went to, a guy with 19 years of sobriety, he shared out to me, he goes, you know what macho means? It means stupid. And I looked at that skinny son of a bitch, I go, he's lucky he's not over here. But I have a lot of laughter in my life today, a lot of joy in my life today. I'm a productive member of society today. I was a menace to society prior to getting these rooms. You know, there's one, I came to a meeting one time, and there's one lady, she shared, she goes, the reason my husband doesn't like come here, he says, because this word, nothing but losers. Let me tell you something, people, you're looking at one. But today I'm a successful loser.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. My past has been one of my greatest assets. Because I have 6 kids. And prior to going, as soon as they got into 8th grade, until they graduated, I told them every year, I told them, by the time you get to high school, some of your friends who are friends now, they're going to get into either alcohol and or drugs. And whether or not you go that route, that's your way, that's your business. But I told them some, they know a lot of my story, the way I was like. And none of them, they're all saints compared to the way I was. They might drink a little, they might get drunk. Even not stupid, the damn fool. But it's okay for me to be around people who get drunk and not the damn fool. Because for me, those are reminders of where I come from. If anybody should understand why they're doing what they're doing, me, I understand. So you people got to do whatever you got to go through. I know this, that everyone that I know of who has got some time, 10 or plus years, has paid a hell of a price to get here. You don't get here on a good note. You new people, just keep an open mind. You can be too smart for these rooms, though. Because there was one guy where I went, he was a priest. You see all walks of life here, priests, psychologists, doctors, lawyers, judges. See, his alcoholism doesn't give a shit who you are. Mm-hmm. And that priest, they found him dead in his trailer one time, all kinds of whiskey bottles. They told him, and they explained to me why, because he was always trying to figure, being a priest, he tried to figure out the God thing, who God was or whatever. He was one of those people who was too smart. So for me, I remain somewhat dumb. That keeps me teachable and small enough to stay in these rooms. I don't, so you new people, the sooner you get to know every fucking thing, the better you are. Then you can start learning something. I don't ever want to get to what I call the Bullwinkle stage, fucking know-it-all stage. Because a lot of people there who get there, they're not here no more. These rooms do for me one day at a time what I can't do for myself. And then you younger people, the ones that say younger, probably between 18 and 30, you fall in that category, you can be spared those literal 10 or 15 years of hell that I had to go through. You don't have to go down the scale that far down. You don't have to lose everything. But I know you're going to have to pay a hell of a price if you're going to stay. I'm glad I still have that stick-to-itiveness, what I call, to still do the simple things I did when I first got here. I pray, go to lots of meetings, and I work with other alcoholics or drug addicts like myself. And those are three main reasons people that I've been taught in these rooms why people who have had time and go back out there again, the three main reasons. They quit going to meetings, they quit praying, and third most failing that I've seen also, payback. They quit giving freely what was freely given to them. You know, I got a lot of family members that belong here. And I used to want to tell them, you know, hey, why don't you straighten out your life? This is a program of attraction, though, not promotion. It's like the majority of my relatives, they're goofing up badly with them. Who am I to deny them their misery? Misery likes company. I don't like to be around people who are miserable. So if you're miserable, please don't come up to me after the meeting. Because some of your miserableness might jump onto me. Or else I might tell you something you don't want to hear. But see, I go to lots and lots of meetings. I've done lots of conventions. And that's important for me. That's important for me. I've gone to book studies, step study meetings. Because I get different inputs from people who have done steps. And they explain some of the big books. The big books got a lot of big fancy words in there. I don't know what they mean to this day still. I'm lazy. I don't like looking in the dictionary. And I've sponsored some smart white guys. So when I'm doing the steps with them, I tell them, I ask them, what does this word mean? And he explains to me. So I'm still teachable. You know, I live in Bakersfield right now, and I don't even know what drove me to go over there. Well, I do. So it was a personal reason. But I didn't know what was in store for me, what the future held for me, and I still don't know. Because that future's always around the corner. I can't see that son of a bitch. But my sponsor told me, hey, you just stay sober one day at a time, and the future is going to be revealed to you in God's time, not yours. Today I base my life on the effectiveness and thoroughness of how I did step three. Especially when shit happens, my sponsor says, I will go up to him and he will tell me, did you do step three or didn't you? They see how much faith you got now that the shit's going wrong or the shit's happening. So I tell him when shit was happening, he goes, hey, the positive side is that is, at least your life for the shit to happen to you, he told me. I didn't like the answers he gave me, but it make a lot of sense to me today. And, you know, the new people, some of the things that I said may not make sense to you today, right now when I said it, and don't worry about it. That goes out, it went to here and out to there. But when the student's ready, the teacher will appear. And as soon as they're ready, no matter what anybody tells you, you're not going to stay. That's just a reality. Those are statistics. See, because that local world where I come from, there's 46 of us. And before we left there, a Chicano counselor told me, he goes, one, maybe two of you will be around a year from now. The rest of you are going to be out the streets. Some of you are going to die. Some of you wind up in prison. And I told myself, you know what? I'm going to be one of those ones. I'm going to be one of those ones that I have. But before I left that local ward, you can't leave that local ward without a prescription. I go, all right, they're going to give me some drugs. No, my prescription, it said 90 meetings in 90 days. I've never been to Alcoholics. I never even heard of Alcoholics Anonymous prior to getting to Alcoholics Anonymous. Okay? So that was probably a good thing. But I do know that Alcoholics Anonymous works. You know why? Because I never had it so good. I got relationships with all my kids. I get to tell my mother. My mother, I love her. Prior to getting these rooms, I never even told my mother I loved her. Nor did she ever tell any of us kids either, though. So every time I do, she got to tell her. You know, I remember having to make amends with my mother-in-law. I never mentioned, every time I would talk to that woman, I never called her by her first name. She was sick at the hospital one day. She was on dialysis. She had yellow jaundice. She couldn't talk to you. Her eyes were just yellow. She couldn't see the black part, nothing. She couldn't respond back. So my wife was in there talking to her mother. And then my wife comes in. She goes, are you ready? I go, yeah, I'm ready. But then the little boy said, right now would be a good time to talk to your, make amends to your mother-in-law while she can't hear you and she can't respond back. So I told my wife, you know what, I got to go to the restroom. I lied. I went down the hallway, come to a T, to the right was to the restroom, and to the left was my mother-in-law's room. So I went to the right and stood there for about 5 seconds, and I looked to the corner, my wife wasn't looking, so I ran across. And I went up to my mother-in-law's room, and I went up to her bedside, and I called her Dolores. That was her name. And when I said Dolores, she turned around and looked at me, and her eyes were clear. That fucking blew me away. But I told her, I want to apologize for all the things I've done to you, the way I treated you and your daughter. And she even talked back. She goes, you know what, George? I forgive you. After she said, I forgive you, my sister-in-law walks in, walks up to the bedside, and then she completely fucking shuts down. Things like that have happened to me. They're God shot, but yet those are ones that I need. Why some people go through situations like that just to make them more believers that there is a God, I don't know. Another incident, I was in San Antonio Lake with all my kids. My 27-year-old daughter then, we're in the water. In the lake, it's got mushy ground, it's all muddy and shit. And then my daughter, she goes, oh, it's mushy right here. So I go, okay, let's move over here. And then not even a minute later, here comes the patrol boat with a bullhorn telling everybody, get out of the water. And then the patrol boat guy, he jumped in the water. He had shorts on. I go, I bet you somebody drowned. And then here comes two lifeguards from the shore. They were holding hands. They walked into the water, I guess, see if they could feel for him. Oh, no. And then, they said, is there any, we'd like to bust up some volunteers. And I told my daughter, you know what, I know how to swim. So we formed a C. We held hands, and I was at the left hand, left very end. And we got to about chest level deep. A little voice in my head said, kick your foot to the left. And I did. I felt something. I went underneath the water. I let go of my right hand. I went underneath the water, and I picked this little Joe up. But I'm too sure they tried to revive them. They didn't. And where I picked them up was where my daughter had stepped on something. So I told myself, if I had checked, maybe they'd be alive right now. And I said that out loud to my daughter. And then a little, you know, someone tapped me on the shoulder. I turned around. This little old man, he could barely walk like this. He goes, Sonny boy, there was nothing you could do. It was his time. And then I turned around to look at my daughter. Not even 30 seconds later, I turned around to talk to this man. He was gone. And there was no way that little old man could take off in a big open area like that. Another event that made me a firm believer that there is a God. Those kind of things don't happen to everybody in these rooms. I mean, why it happened to me, I don't know, and I don't give a shit. I don't know that they did happen. I mean, well, I even had to go back and make amends to schools I used to break into. Because I went to the superintendent and I told him, you know, when I was about 10 to 13 years old, I broke into your school, stole kind of things from the cafeteria or felt marker pens from your school, from your classes. And I told him, I talked to the principal, he didn't know how to handle it. He didn't know how to handle the situation. And I go, I'd like to give a couple $100 for this, probably what it amounted to. He didn't know how to handle it, so he got on the phone. I thought he was going to call the fucking cops. So he talked to the superintendent of the schools and told him the situation. He goes, what? Just take the... But he wants to remain anonymous, you know? So I gave him the $200, and that's how I took care of that. There's some amends that I can't make because the step says, except when you do so would injure them or others. I'm one of those others. I committed some armed robberies in places around, in other places, you know, but I'm sure I'm not going to go back and tell that guy, you know, I committed an armed robbery on you. Because that would injure me by having me locked up, and that would leave my kids without a dad. My grandkids, I got 13 grandkids. And I don't even feel like grandpa. I mean, this is what grandpa looks like right here. But I've made amends to all my kids. I've got to remember that these rooms, I had to tell my family members, these rooms are more important to me than all you kids, than my work, anything. They go, why, Dad? One of my kids told me, why, Dad? I go, because if I get drunk, I'm not going to be here for you. I'm not going to have that job. I'm not going to have nothing. So I have to keep these rooms a priority above everything. The people who got here before me told me these things. Everything I've said in these rooms is not something that I thought of, because I'm not that fucking smart. You people are my teachers. You give me good input. That's why I stay so close to these rooms. Because if I shy away from these rooms, I'm going to start doing things my way again. See? And I got to remember, my way is what got me here. And I'm glad for rooms like this, people like you, and most importantly, this loving God and my understanding that I understand I found in these rooms, I couldn't miss it all, people. There are a lot of treasured moments that I remember today. I don't remember a lot of my 20s to 30s. It's just blank. But that's okay. That's okay. Today, I do my best to live as if it were going to be my last day. Because I'm not promised tomorrow. For me, I came in this world in God's time. I'm going to leave in His time. I can't say, hey, God, give me a week and give me another year. One of my sponsors walked me through steps of the program, had a massive heart attack in an AA meeting. He died a week later. And so, you know, I don't like things that happen sometimes. So I don't like some people sometimes. I don't like situations that happen to me sometimes. But acceptance plays a big part for me. I have to accept who you are for what you are. I have to accept a situation that happens as being exactly the way it was supposed to have happened. Because if that situation was supposed to have happened, it wouldn't have happened. But it happened, so I have to accept it, and I can't change it. But I can't find any peace and serenity until I do so. For example, today, whatever happened to me today was supposed to have happened. If it wasn't supposed to have happened, it wouldn't happen. However, things turned out today, that's exactly what it was supposed to turn out today. Because if they weren't supposed to have turned out that way, they wouldn't have. And whatever I feel I should have accomplished and didn't accomplish today, wasn't supposed to have gotten accomplished. Because if it was supposed to have, it would have. Then you people have taught me these things. I just have to keep an open mind to listen and hear. I got over there in Bayswood, there's some people walking, always walking in and out, and going, answering their phone or some shit, playing with text messages. If I sponsor you, you won't do none of that. You won't leave this room. You won't answer no text or nothing. If you want to do that, go find yourself another fucking sponsor. And one reason why, because when you're out there answering the phone, someone in here could be sharing what you needed to hear and you've missed it. That's one reason why my sponsor told me don't leave 5 minutes before that miracle. And you missed it. Because, see, when I first got here, I couldn't sit down in the whole meeting sometimes. I was fucking jumpy. And I went outside one time. My sponsor came after me. He goes, hey, get your ass back inside. I go, why? I get jumpy. He goes, well, hey, if you don't feel like sitting down, just stand up or walk around the room. That way they can see what a newcomer looks like. Hey, man. That guy was too much, man. And I used to play racquetball with a guy. He's 20 years older than me. And I was smoking cigarettes. And I was up in the pub and he would tell me, hey, let's take a break. Go smoke a cigarette, he would tell me. He would clown me like that. But he told me, you know what, George? He goes, you'll know when to stop. You'll know when to stop. And when you stop smoking cigarettes and you smoke another cigarette, it's because you weren't ready. Bottom line. See, that's the way that's why I quit smoking. I said one day, you know, God, I don't want to smoke no more. I prayed for the obsession to stop smoking. And I haven't had a cigarette since day one, 20 years later already. Mm-hmm. Even a cigarette today, they still smell good. Smells good to me. Yesterday, I was at my daughter's, my son-in-law's, it was his birthday. They were drinking, they were smoking cigarettes. And the cigarettes still smells good. Even look at them, watch them drink. Even the beer looks good sometimes. But I don't. I'm there for a reason. These rooms have taught me and allowed me to get back into the mainstream of life. And that's be part of my kids' life. As long as I'm spiritually connected, I'll be okay. Messed up thoughts like that are always going to cross my mind till the day I die. Like 2 weeks ago, I told the guy, you know what, when I turn 70, I'm gonna start drinking again with my son. Start drinking with my son. Hey, I've been sober over 23 years. So stupid shit still comes out of my mouth to this day. Hey. So I don't beat myself up for it either, just because I think that way. I'm an alcoholic. When I became one, it doesn't matter when I became one. When I crossed that invisible line, it doesn't matter. Like they say, once a cucumber becomes a pickle, that pickle ain't never going to be a fucking cucumber no more. So, I got to remember where I come from. I don't ever want to forget where I come from. I don't ever want to forget that one of you people helped me when I didn't think there was any hope for someone like me. I sponsored many sponsees, and some of them to this day don't even come to meetings. I called one guy. He's in a high position in this field, and I talked to him probably about a year ago, and I told him, yeah, but you forgot where you come from. How did your life get the way it was? You're not giving back. You're a taker. You're a taker, you are. In fact, he's one of those sober thieves. If you've been here, you only go to 1 meeting a month, 1 meeting a year. You're not helping other alcoholics. To me, you're a sober thief. Don't get mad. Be a doer. Start doing something about it. You can do something about it. Huh? And I've got to continue to do things because I enjoy living with some degree of comfort. And by doing these things freely, I get to feel what I feel. Even the messed up feelings that I feel, I get to feel every emotion, sad, mad, glad, whatever. At least I'm alive to feel it. A lot of people say they don't feel that they should be alive. I used to say that, but you know what, now I say, you know what, I'm supposed to be alive. If I was supposed to be alive, I wouldn't be alive. That guy still has other plans for me. If I was supposed to be out of this world, I wouldn't be here. What those plans are, I just gotta stay sober one day at a time. Mm-hmm. So you know, we people, keep it that simple. Just for today, just for this evening, don't drink. Just for this evening, go to any lengths to stay sober. And if you be a drug addict, stay clean also. Don't worry about tomorrow. They told me, fuck tomorrow. That's how they told me. Just live it today. Because when I was going through these three emotions, felt like they were overwhelming. I talked to my 33-year-old sponsor. He's got 33 years, 2 weeks ago. And he reminded me of I was going out to the future. I was predicting, basically projecting. Yeah, that's what he said. He goes, hey, quit trying to play God. Just coming back today. What you're thinking about hasn't even happened. You're all messed up. See, so I have to keep asking for help. And humility, that great precious quality word I want more of. That's what keeps me coming back. Gotta humble myself. I had to humble myself and go up to somebody, will you help me? I have to go up to somebody I don't know and shake your hand, my name is George. I still do that. I don't say no when I'm asked to do something Alcoholics Anonymous. Because I've been given a life. Like this morning, I was praying. I prayed on the bed, lying down on the bed. And then my grandson walked in on me. He just stopped. I heard he just stopped. He froze. I thought, and after I finished praying, I said, I just finished praying. Now I'm good for the day. I was in a good mood and everything. He just smiles at me. So I enjoy my life today. How prayer works, how the program works, I don't really know how to know all the answers today. Because I used to want to know how it works, why this was happening, why that was happening. My sponsor told me, no, not my sponsor, one guy told me, and his name was Andy, he goes, that's why you're all fucked up, George, you're trying to figure everything out. And then that guy Andy told me one story before I closed. He goes, because he was blaming his wife, his boss, he was blaming everybody for this and that. And then his sponsor told me, Andy, wait a minute, Andy. Andy, when you die, they lay you down on a gurney, and the doctor opens up your head, he looks inside there, he's not going to find your boss in there, your wife, or anybody in there. So quit blaming fucking people. And that makes a lot of sense to me today. And prior to getting in these rooms, I blamed you for everything. And the steps have allowed me to take responsibility for all my actions today. And that has been a lot of healing also. So you new people just keep coming back, and give the, if you haven't even been here for 90 days, give these rooms a chance. Do and take suggestions for 90 days. Go to a meeting every day for 90 days. And after 90 days, what was told to me, if you don't like what these rooms has to offer you, you can always go back and live that life you came from. And I gave it a shot. Here I am. And with that, I hope you all have a nice evening, unless you guys have plans. That's it for me.
Thank you.